That I have. If you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and you'd like to stand with us, I invite you to do that at this time if you're able. If you're not able, we understand. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them was God not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happen unto them for our ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Verse 12 is our text verse. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Let's read that again, verse 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Lord, I love you, and I'm grateful for another opportunity to be in church tonight, grateful for the chance to preach. Lord, I pray that you'd take these few simple thoughts that I've got in my heart tonight, God, that you'd use them to be a help to somebody, God, to be an example to somebody, God, to help somebody maybe to prevent them from falling. Lord, I pray, God, that if there's somebody here that is on the verge of tumbling and falling into tragedy, I pray for them, God, that you would help them. God, help them to see some warning signs in our message tonight. Lord, I pray for that one that doesn't consider themselves able to fall, God, because the Bible says that they need to take heed because they're in danger of doing that very thing. Lord, help us preach tonight. We need you. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. You can be seated. In the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul is recounting the story of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Paul begins by reminding them in verse 1 down through verse number 4 of the goodness of God toward the nation of Israel. He tells them that not only did God bring them out of Egypt and God led them to the promised land, but God gave them many good blessings as they journeyed along the way. He said, God gave you a cloud to guide you. God gave them a cloud to guide them. In verse number 1, he said, God separated the water for them. In verse number 2, he said, God gave them spiritual meat. In verse number 3, he said, God gave them water, spiritual water from the rock. In verse number 4, you see, God blessed them and God was good to them and God was faithful to them as they journeyed from Egypt toward the Canaan land. Now, if a person was to stop off reading their text in verse number 4, they would think that these people must have been great people and they must have been godly people. Surely, if you read verse 1 down through verse 4, surely you would have the idea that all of those amazing blessings in their lives would cause them to dedicate themselves to the Lord. Surely they would serve God with every fiber of their being because God had been good to them. You know, we sung a lot of songs tonight about the goodness of God. And you would think that because God had been so good to us, we would want to dedicate our lives to Him, serving with every ounce of our being, every fiber of our being, with every strength that we could muster, we'd want to serve God. And you would think the same thing about the children of Israel, all these good blessings that God had gave them. But if you keep reading just one more verse, verse number 5, the Bible says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased." You see, instead of realizing the blessings of God upon their life, they murmured and they complained. Instead of dedicating their lives to God, they committed fornication. Instead of trusting in God, they tempted God. Instead of relying on God, they played around with God. Therefore, God in His displeasure sent punishment upon them, sent fiery serpents to them. He punished them there in the wilderness. And then the Apostle Paul, after reminding the Corinthians about the blessings and the blunders of the nation of Israel, he turns his attention toward the church and he says something like this. He said, what happened to the nation of Israel in the wilderness can happen to you in the church if you're not real careful. He said, God let us see these things and God gave us these things as an example, as an ensample. God let us see this. He said, because just like Israel could fall, just like Israel could experience God's goodness and fall, it is possible for us to experience the goodness of God and still fall away from the Lord. Notice the warning that he gives them in verse 12. He said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. I don't know how you go about your day, but it's not uncommon for me to go through a ritual every morning. I guess I typically do the same thing every morning as I get ready for work. It's not unusual for me to wake up and take a shower first thing in the morning. And as I'm showering, I'm usually thinking about different people in my family and different people in the church and trying to pray for them. I'll get out of the shower and brush my teeth. That's the next thing I do, and I'll try to pray when I'm standing there brushing my teeth. And one day this week, I can't remember what day it was, I was doing my morning ritual, going through my morning things, and I was praying for different people in the church. And I won't mention any names because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but let's just say that somebody in our church last week was late to Sunday school because they tripped over a baby gate and fell down 15 flights of steps. We'll not call any names, but let's just say that I was at their house last night, and it's not really a baby gate. It's a Russian death trap. I don't know how somebody doesn't die at the top of that flight of steps, but I was thinking about this person that I won't call his name out, and I was thinking about this person and wondering in my mind how they were doing, wondering how they were feeling, how they were recuperating, and trying to pray for them. And as I began to think about that person that fell down those flight of steps, if you can believe it, God impressed my heart. God spoke to my heart. And he told me that morning, brushing my teeth, he said, just like it is possible to fall physically down that flight of steps, there have been many people that have fallen spiritually speaking. Tonight I want us to consider this little word, fall. That's a small word, four-letter word, fall. The dictionary says and tells us that the word fall means to move downward. It means to typically or rapidly and freely move without control from a higher to a lower level. I think that's a good way to describe the nation of Israel, don't you? They fell from a high place down to a low place. They fell from a high spiritual plateau or a plain to a low spiritual plateau. It's always good. We can describe the nation of Israel this way, but I think that's a good way to describe many churches and even many church members tonight. I believe that there are many people that at one time in their life, they were living for God. They were serving God, and they had a touch of God on their life. They had a touch of God in their church, but something happened, and they fell from that high spiritual plane to that low spiritual place, and they have fallen tonight. They're outcast tonight. They have rapidly and fallen without control from one place down to another place. Tonight I want to show you some people in the Bible, a little different message than I normally preach. I want to show you some people in the Bible who fail naturally speaking, but I believe we can see a spiritual application in this. And I believe if we look at these lives closely, we look at these people closely, what caused them to fall, maybe it'll help us to see something that can keep us and prevent us from making the same mistakes in our own life. Now, let me say this before I get started. before you turn me off, before you shut the preacher down, thinking, you know, preacher, I'm not going to fall. I think I've got this thing, this Christian life figured out. I think I'm going to make it. I'm going to do okay. Let me say that if you are in that camp, if you are in that boat, you probably need my message most tonight, because verse number 12 says it's that man that's thinking that he's standing. It's that man that doesn't consider himself able to fall. It's that woman that thinks she's arrived. It's that brother, that sister that thinks they've got it all figured out, that needs to be on guard, because if they're not real careful, the enemy will show up at some point in their life, put something in their path that'll trip them up, and before they realize that they've fallen in their spiritual lives. I want to preach tonight on this thought: tumbling toward tragedy. Tumbling toward tragedy. And if you don't like that title, you can use the first one I came up with, which is "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." I want you to notice, and I'm going to give you these quickly. I want to show you seven people that fail in the pages of the Bible. And I'll show you these seven. Hopefully we can learn something from them. Let me show you this. Number one, the first person to fall in the Bible was Lucifer. Lucifer, and Lucifer fell because he was distant. He fell because he was distant. The very first fall that took place, took place in eternity past. Isaiah and Ezekiel give us a record of God's created intelligence in heaven. Before the existence of the heavens and before the existence of the earth. And from their accounts, we read about one of God's greatest creations of eternity past. And it was a creation, an angel, an archangel by the name of Lucifer. Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel 28:15, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." I think that we all understand tonight that Lucifer, the devil, was not created for evil. He was not created in evil. In fact, we learn just the opposite in the pages of the Bible. We find out that God created him in perfection. God made him perfect in his beauty. The Bible teaches us that. God gave him the perfect apparel for him to wear. God made him perfect in his voice. The Bible says that he sounded like the sound of a wonderful musical instrument when he spoke. You see, God created him in perfection. Not only was he perfect in the way he was created, but he was perfect in his position. The Bible teaches us that he was the angel that covered. He was that great archangel that covered the throne room, the throne of the very God of heaven. You remember that in the tabernacle in the wilderness, as Moses built that tabernacle, that he had the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat where God's presence was, and he had two archangels formed that would spread their wings over that mercy seat, would cover that mercy seat. Do you realize that that was Satan's position in the very throne room of God? That was his job, to overshadow the throne of the very God of heaven when he was created. But the Bible tells us that Satan, this great intelligence, this great created being, was the very first creature to fall. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" You see, we all know this about Satan. We know that his sin, or his iniquity, was the sin of pride. He lifted himself up. He lifted his heart up against God. He lifted himself up against all the other creatures that were created. But I think that it was more than that. I really think that it was more than that. I believe that before pride filled his heart, a distance entered into his heart that came between him and the very God that created him. You see, something began to form in his heart there in heaven. He began to grow distant from God, the God that he was created to worship, the God that he was created to serve. Distance formed in his heart, and pride just filled in the void that distance created. Hey, can I say it this way? Satan was not distant from God in his position, but he was distant from God in his heart. Y'all aren't helping me out good tonight. I'm going to have to preach on my own, I guess. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, Satan was very close to God. He was in the very throne room of God. In fact, he was as close to God in his position as any creature could ever be. He was right there in the throne room of heaven. But while he was close to God in position, in his heart, he was far away from God. And because he was far away from God in his heart, he rebelled against God. He went against God and he failed, the Bible says, in the book of Isaiah chapter number 14. Lord have mercy, I preached all of that to say this. You can be in church tonight. You can be a Baptist tonight. You can be on the church roll. You can be baptized. You can be sitting in a pew and singing a solo before the service is over. But if you're not careful, something could come into your heart this very afternoon. A little seed of something could get in your soul that could begin to grow distance between you and God. And you can sit on a church pew. You can be just as close as you can be, but you can at the same time be distant from God that you've been purposed to serve, purposed to worship. That's exactly right, good neighbor. There are many people that come to church. They come to church every Sunday morning. They come to church every Sunday night. They come on Wednesday night. There are men and women that are sitting in our church pews that they are far from God in their soul. They are far from God in their heart. And if they don't do something about that and do something about it soon, it won't be too much longer before they stumble and they fall. They're overtaken in a fault because they've let distance come between them and God. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're close to God. You understand that, right? Amen. Just because you got a perfect Sunday school record doesn't mean that you're close to God. You understand that, right? And if you're not careful, and I'll be honest with you, it's happened in my own life. And just thankful God didn't let me fall. He had a hedge of protection about me. But there have been times in my life I wasn't as close to God as I was at other times in my life. And it's only by the goodness of God and the grace and grace of God that I didn't fall during those times. I'm telling you, it's dangerous to let distance come between you and between God. You say, well, how can I know, Brother Josh, if there's a distance between me and God? Well, let me ask you something. When's the last time you felt God's presence in your life? Amen. You tell me when the last time you felt God's touch in your life was, and I'll tell you how close to God you are. Amen. Number one, Lucifer fell because he was distant. Let me show you this. Number two, Saul fell. King Saul fell because he was disobedient. He was disobedient. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 4, it says, when said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. The Bible says, therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. Hey, the Bible teaches us that Saul fell. He fell on his own sword. If you just read 1 Samuel chapter 31, you would have to think that Saul fell because the Philistines had overtaken him, because the Philistine army was going to defeat him, and so he fell because of the Philistines. But if you read the chapters previous to that, you'll learn that Saul did not fall because of the Philistines. Saul did not fall because of the army that he was battling that day. Saul fell because he was disobedient to God. You see, when God first introduces us to Saul in the pages of the Bible, Saul is a very humble young man. He's out looking for his daddy's donkeys when we first run across him. And the Bible says that when Samuel goes to him and tells him he's going to be the king of Israel, he's such a humble young man. He tells Samuel he can't do that. He's not worthy of that. But it's not very long before the humble young man becomes the lifted up in pride king of Israel. And it's not much longer till he decides that he knows better than God and he knows better than the preacher does. And he can do things on his own. And he can make decisions for himself. He's a big boy. He can take care of things on his own. And therefore, when God tells him to go to Amalek and destroy Amalek, he decides on his own he'll save some things alive. He'll offer some sacrifices. You know, God's well pleased in sacrifices. So this disobedience really isn't disobedience. I'm just going to do this because I know better than God does. And he in his heart lifted himself up and become disobedient to the very God that called him and that gave him the position that he had. To make matters worse, Brother James, when Samuel finally finds him, he's about to offer the sacrifices on his own. Not only did he decide he didn't need to listen to God, but he decided he didn't need the preacher either. He was just going to do on his own what God had called the preacher to do. And he knew it all. And he had figured it all out. But Samuel, he said, while God loves sacrifice and offering, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Rejected you, Saul, from being king in Israel. God will never speak to you again. God will never visit you again. God departed from Saul that day, never to return. And it's not long before the Philistines come against the children of Israel. Saul tries to find God, but he can't find God because he was disobedient. Samuel has died. He can't even find the preacher. And so you know the story, how he goes to the witch at Endor and gets her to call Samuel's spirit up. And he goes out to battle against those Philistines in his disobedience. In chapter 31, the nation of Israel sorely defeated. Jonathan has cut down his son and dies. The army flees from the Philistines. And Saul realizes that it's over. It's done. He can't make it any further. And he pulls out his sword and he falls on it. Hey, I'm telling you, before he ever fell on that sword in chapter 31, he had become disobedient to God and fell several chapters before. Hey, I'm telling you, good neighbor, disobedience to God is a dangerous thing. The next time God tells you to do something, you better do it. Hey, the next time God moves in your heart and speaks to your heart and troubles your soul about something, before you say no, could you listen to the warning of this preacher? Disobedience is dangerous. It's dangerous. I said it's dangerous. And disobedience will lead to a tragedy in your life. It'll lead to a fall in your life. You may not understand why God's telling you no. You may not understand why God's saying put the brakes on. Why God's saying slow down. Why God's saying don't do that. Don't go there. Don't talk to them. Don't visit that website. Don't have that conversation. Don't do that. You don't get it now. But God's trying to save you from a fall down the road. And disobedience will lead to disaster and danger every time. Lucifer fell because he was distant. Saul fell because he was disobedient. Watch this, number three. Eutychus fell. Eutychus fell because he was divided. In Acts chapter number 20, we read about the ministry of Paul in the city of Troas. According to the chapter, Paul holds what seems like an all-day Bible study. He preached from midday until midnight. And while he's preaching, we read about a young man named Eutychus. Eutychus is probably one of the most famous falls in all the Bible. For the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse number 9, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. You see, in the middle of Paul's sermon, Brother Eutychus falls asleep, falls out the second story window, and when the church folk get down there to where he's at, they find him, and he's already dead. I don't know if the impact of the fall killed him or what killed him, but I know that when Paul gets there, he finds him, and he's already dead. And thankfully, the preacher that he fell asleep on while he's preaching didn't hold grudges, because Paul laid hands on him and brought him back to life. Hey, this is a comical story when you read it at first. But I'm telling you, the more I read about this story, the more I think about this story, the more it bothers me. It really bothers me. Here we have a young man that falls out a window and dies. Again, we see that it seems like the fall from the window is what killed him. I think it's more involved than that. I don't think that the sleep caused the fall. I think that he was divided in his heart that caused the fall. You say, Brother Josh, why was he divided? I want you to notice two things. I want you to notice this. I think he was divided. I can say that because the fact that he fell asleep while the preacher was preaching. Hey, watch me now. Now, I understand, I get it that Paul preached a long time. He preached from midday until midnight. That was a long Bible study. I know. But Lord have mercy, that was the Apostle Paul preaching that day. He should have been into it. He should have been able to get something from it. He should have been more into the service than he was. He wasn't into that service, is what I'm trying to say. Hey, you watch this with me now. These people that can't ever seem to get up, they can't ever seem to sit up, they can't ever seem to get involved in a service, those people bother me. I said they bother me. They bother me when they can't ever get into a service around here. Now, I get it. I've not only been the man in the pulpit, I've been the man in the pew, and I get it. Sometimes you get distracted. I know that it happens. I'd be foolish to say that it doesn't. But there's some people, Brother David, that they're never in the service. They're all the time, you know, fiddling around in the pew, and they're flipping through the songbook while the preacher's preaching. They're flipping through their Bible while the choir's singing. Why don't you ever flip through your Bible when the preacher's preaching? Flip through the songbook when the choir's singing. It's always the other way around. They flip through the songbook, and they play with the kids in the pews, and they clip their fingernails, and they sleep. And it's not just one service, but it's every service, and they can't ever seem to get in. You know why they can't get into that service? They're divided in their heart. Their body's here, but their mind and their heart is somewhere else. They're somewhere far from here, and they better watch themselves, because if they're not careful, something's going to happen in their life, and it won't be long before they'll be like Brother Eutychus, and they'll have fallen because they were divided in their heart. Hey, I think this fact that he fell asleep tells me he's divided. But not only the fact that he fell asleep, but I think Brother Luke was good with imagery. He does a good job of painting us a picture in chapter 20. And he makes sure to tell us that Eutychus was sitting in the window when he fell asleep. Now, let me just say it this way. If you're sitting in the window during service, you know what that tells me? That tells me you are just as close to being out as you can be without really being out. Does that make sense? Y'all understand what I'm saying? He's just as out as he can be without really being out. You know, I think that Eutychus was divided in his heart. He was divided because he was in church, but he really didn't want to be in church. He come to church because they were having revival and he felt like he ought to be there. He come to church because mom and daddy come to church probably that night and they made him come. Or his wife wanted to come, so he felt like he needed to come. You know, he come because he didn't want the preacher to get the idea that he didn't want to be there. But really, you know, he would have rather stayed home and watched the football game that night. Amen. Y'all were with me, and then I started preaching hard, and y'all left me again. Just like that. Everybody's gone. Hey, you know what Eutychus was? He was there, but he didn't really want to be there. In fact, I submit to you that Eutychus was more out than he was in. You know why I know that? Because when he fell, Brother James, he fell out the window instead of in the window. That tells me he was leaning that way. There's some people that are in church tonight, but they're leaning that way. There's some people that are in church tonight, but in their spirit and in their soul, they're leaning toward the world. They're contemplating the world. They're thinking about the world. And if they had the opportunity, they'd do what the world's doing. They'd get out if they thought they could get by with it. They'd leave if they thought they could get by with it. Hey, I'm telling you, division in your heart, well, it won't take very long before that division finds you laying on the pavement after you've fallen and you're dead. Spiritually. Amen. Eutychus fell because he was divided. Number four. I think I'm on number four. Y'all help me out if I'm not. Number four. Mephibosheth fell because he depended on others. Mephibosheth fell because he depended on others. The fall of Mephibosheth is different from every other fall that we've considered thus far. The Bible tells us that when the news comes of Saul's death and Jonathan's death after the battle of the Philistines, that Mephibosheth's nurse takes him up and begins to flee with him. You see, he was just a very young man. And she assumed that since Jonathan was dead, which was his father, and Saul was dead, which was his grandfather, that it wouldn't be long before they came for him and killed him also. And so the nurse picks up Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, and begins to flee with him. And it's then that we read in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. And he was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And the nurse took him up and fled. And it come to pass that as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. This is a sad story. Through no fault of his own, 5 years old, Mephibosheth falls and is lame the rest of his life because of what his nurse did. Watch this with me, please. There are some that fall and they don't realize it, but they hurt somebody else when they fall. You say, oh, if I get out of church, it won't hurt nobody but me. That's a lie straight from the devil. Amen. You say, if I sin, it won't hurt nobody but me. That's a lie straight from the devil. Amen. And you tell him I said so. That's a lie, good neighbor. I'm telling you, if you fall, there's going to be somebody else get hurt in the process. You look around here tonight. There was even more this morning, but these pews are filled up with little boys and little girls. And let's just be honest, mom and dad. Let's be honest, grandma and grandpa. If you fall and you get out, who's going to bring them to church? And you know what's going to happen? Because you fail, they're going to fall. The Bible says no man lives unto himself and no man dies unto himself. If you fall, you're taking somebody down with you. I was thinking this week, I'm blessed, these kids in the church. I don't know why they love me as much as they do, but I'll get stuff like this. I got this before church tonight. I got two kind of like this after service this morning. Brother Wally, I've got notes in there in my office and my desk that says, Brother Josh, you're the best preacher in the world. Amen. Now looky here. If the preacher falls, if news come tomorrow to Northside Baptist Church that the preacher had done something that had ruined his ministry and wrecked his testimony, there's going to be some little boys and little girls around here that are going to hurt. Because I fail. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that Mephibosheth fell, not because Mephibosheth did wrong, but because he was dependent on somebody else, and they fail. I don't know how long I've been preaching number five. I don't care how long I've been preaching number five. The Ephesian church fell because they were distracted. The Ephesian church fell because they were distracted. When you turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, the Lord is writing, standing in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks, writing to those seven churches. While writing to the church at Ephesus, we discover that not only is it possible for an individual to fall, but it's possible for a church to fall also. Chapter 2, verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You see, Jesus told this church that they had fallen and they needed to repent for it. The interesting thing is that If you study the credentials that this Ephesian church had, most of us would consider them a good, solid, fundamental Baptist church. You see, this wasn't a group of worldly Christians that allowed a bunch of foolishness and allowed a bunch of worldliness into this church. In fact, Jesus talked about all the good works that they had. He said, y'all have good works. You have patience. He said, you've stood against evil. You've hated the Nicolaitans. He said, you've tried the false apostles and found them false. He said, you've not fainted in the work of Christ. He said, but in spite of all that, I've got a problem with you. You have left your very first love. It is my opinion that the church in Ephesus got so wrapped up in standing against evil, good works, patience, charity, working with the homeless, doing all the things they were doing. They got so wrapped up in that, they forgot about what was really important, and that was having fellowship with Jesus Christ. They got distracted. You know, I like to have fellowship. People like me, we like to eat. I love having fellowship. I like having men's prayer breakfasts. I like it when we get together at the picnic and have a cookout. That was fun. I like doing stuff together as a church family. You know, I hope this church always stands against evil, stands for right, stands firm on the Bible. I hope we always have revivals, put on special meetings. I get tickled when we do that. I hope we always stand for truth and righteousness, try to help our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ out. But it's possible. It's possible to get so busy having cookouts and revivals, standing on the Bible, passing out flyers, handing out tracts. It's possible to get so busy doing all that stuff, we forget about the important thing. And that's the presence of God. The very presence of God. You see, the Ephesian church fell because they got distracted. Let us never forget why we come together on Sundays here at Northside Baptist Church. It's to worship and feel the presence of an almighty God. Amen. Number six, Eli fell because God had departed. 1 Samuel chapter 4, we read about a battle taking place between Israel and the Philistines. On the day of the battle, the Philistines are just whooping the nation of Israel. Just give them a good old country boy whooping. The Bible says that they're so defeated that some of the guys in the camp of Israel get the bright idea. Let's go back to where the tabernacle is. Let's get the Ark of the Covenant. We'll bring it down here to the battlefield. And when we get that Ark down here, God's going to let us win this battle. They got down there and they hooped, and they hollered, and they cheered. And then the Philistines put it on them again. And when the Philistines got done with them, they took the Ark of the Covenant and they left with it. A shout, a cry is heard in Shiloh as word comes back that the nation of Israel has lost this day. Many have been defeated and lay dead on the battlefield. They come to Eli and say, your two sons, they're dead, they're gone. A woman gives birth, Eli's daughter-in-law, and as she gives birth, she looks at her baby and she says, I'm going to call him Ichabod because the glory of God has departed. They said, Eli, not only are your kids dead, but the Ark of the Covenant, it's gone, Eli. And the high priest, the Bible says, in chapter number 4, verse 18, when they made mention of the Ark of God, he fell from off his seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy. He had judged Israel 40 years. You see, Eli fell because the glory of God had departed. The ark was gone. God was gone. You see, whether you realize it or not, this church is nothing more than a lodge or a club if we don't have the presence of God in it. you are nothing more than a wild fanatic if it's not for the glory of God in your life. You see, the thing that sets us apart from the world is the smile of God upon what we're doing here. And if the time comes that Ichabod's wrote over the door and somebody looks and notices that God's presence is gone, the greatest blessing we've ever had is gone, the goodness, the smile of gone, can I say in that day we'll fall, we'll be dead, we'll be good for nothing. We better pray that God's presence never leave our company. And pray that it never leaves your life. I'm done. Number 7, Judas fell because he was dead. In the book of Acts, chapter number 1, Peter is recalling the events of Calvary. Chapter number 2, I'm sorry. He's preaching Christ to the multitude on Pentecost. While he's preaching the message of Christ, he mentions the treachery of Judas. And he says this in verse number 18, he said, "Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out." We all know the story of Judas after he betrayed the Lord, how that he was overcome with grief. And the Bible teaches us that in his grief, he went out and he hung himself. Now Peter gives us some new information. Peter says that after he hung himself, cover your ears, those of you that have a weak stomach. After he hung himself, obviously hung there so long that either the rope broke or his head ripped off or something, and his body fell into that valley and its guts burst open. That's what Peter said in verse number 18. Now, I don't know what caused Judas's body to fall from that rope he hung himself with. I really don't, but I know this. He was dead before he fell. He was dead when he hung himself. Before the fall came, long before Judas's fall came, he was dead. Now, I wish it wasn't this way. I really do. I wish it wasn't this way. But the reality is that it's possible for you and I to be saved tonight, be serving God tonight, and then one of the things I preached about tonight happened in our life and we fall. That's possible. I wish it didn't happen, but it happens. But wait a minute. There are some people, they just can't help but fall. It seems like every time they pick themselves up, they fall again. And they fall, and they fall, and they fall. And they spend more time falling than they spend standing. Could it be, y'all can tell me if I'm wrong, but could it be they keep falling because they're dead? Amen. You're going to have a hard time living the Christian life if you don't have the Christ living inside of you. There's some people that try to live the Christian life, but they're dead inside. They're dead spiritually. And you'll never live the Christian life until you come to know Christ. You're still dead in your trespasses and sins. You're dead in your old man, dead in your old nature. And you'll forever be dead until you come to know Christ. You'll forever fall until you come to know Him. Some people just keep falling because they've never been made alive. They're still dead. Paul said, when he gave the example of the children of Israel, he said, "I gave you this for an example." He said, "Because I want you to consider yourself, because I don't want you to fall like they fell." In 2005, the USA Today ran an article. The title of the article said, 450 sheep jumped to their deaths in Turkey. The article said that first one sheep jumped off the cliff to its death. Then the stunned Turkish shepherds watched as the rest of the field left grazing where they were having breakfast. And 1,500 of them followed that first sheep and fell off the same cliff. In fact, only 450 died because the rest of them laid on top of the dead animals that had already fell before them. I don't know why it is that we can't learn from this example, these men and women. We don't have to be like the sheep that just keep going down that same road. Amen. If there was danger at the end of that road for somebody else, mark it down, friend. There's danger at the end of that road for you. Amen. That's right. That road always leads the same direction. It always goes the same place. Danger. Danger. Tragedy. A fall is waiting at the end of that road. Amen. You and I have seen seven examples of people that have fallen. If you're here tonight and things are well in your life, I praise God for that. But I warn you to take heed, because the devil wants you to fall. Amen. If you're here tonight and you have fallen, can I give you a proverb? Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Hey, if you've fallen here tonight, can I say the best thing for you to do is come down here at this altar. Tell God what you've done. Tell Him how sorry you are. And He'll help you to rise up to your feet again and walk one more time. While they come with the song, verse of invitation.